Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast week of November 4th, 2013. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Hey, everybody.
So, let's get right into the show. We got tons of stuff to talk about. So, first up, a couple trailers came out this past week or so. The first one was a new trailer for The Lego Movie, which, if you're not excited for The Lego Movie after watching this trailer,
you
are a robot. Because it looks awesome.
Indeed it does.
Like, I think, Will Arnett is Batman. Like, honestly,
yeah,
best
you can't
Batman.
Really get much better than that.
And, like, Batman's gonna be, like, a main character in it.
Thank goodness. Well, that's also because they want the movie to make money, I guess, so.
But also, like, I mean, basically anything they could possibly license or that Warner Bros. Owns is gonna be in this movie. As, like, a Lego character. And there's, like, a ton of, like, classic, like, Lego. Like, if you've, like, grown up with, like, just, like, the generic Lego sets, like, space or race car or whatever, like, before they got, like, everything was licensed, like, there's a ton of, like, old, like, Lego stuff going on. And the cast is just ridiculous. Like, Will Ferrell as the evil President Business.
Morgan Freeman as, wizard.
We finally got to see, Bad Cop, who's voiced by Liam Neeson in this new trailer.
Well, he's also Bad Cop and Good Cop.
I don't know if he voices Good Cop, though. No,
really?
I don't think Liam Neeson can make his voice go that high. It didn't have like an Irish drawl on it or anything like that either.
Well, it could just be really focused.
Yeah. But that seems great. Like Bad Cop, he's Bad Cop, Good Cop in the same person. And yeah, I mean, it just looks like super, just like nerd explosion. Like if you're a nerd. Everything you love is in this movie.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, Lego never really released any kind of, like, TV show or, anything that's popular.
Like, what, Bionicle and, like, Ninjago or whatever the hell that thing is.
Right, but those are so focused on just, like, one type. And, like, that's only the last, like, 2 years with those things. Bionicle was, like, this weird, like a Transformer type show, but it's never done its own universe, you know. I know, like, they did Lego City, like, 5 minute, like, quick animation stuff to promote stuff, but never, like, to have a full blown this is all our collection.
And obviously, like, the Lego games have had their, like, cutscenes and stuff, but
yeah,
but love about this is like it's actually not smooth, like they're actually Lego characters. Like, they're not, like, they can't bend that well, and, like, everything is, like, all the vehicles are, like, Lego, and it's they're living, but they're living Lego characters, so they're, like, the part in the beginning where, like, he's doing jumping jacks, and he's, like, not moving his, like, he can't move his body at all, just, like, his arms and legs. And just, like, I don't know, all the action stuff looks like it's gonna be good, but it's gonna be like hilarious because like everyone's kind of stilted. And I guess it's like a mixture of stop motion and CG, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I don't know if you guys, they started releasing like some of the Lego Movie Lego sets that they're releasing, and like some of them look absolutely insane, like just like these like crazy like it's like weird, like fantasy house, like weird, like warped, like Wizard of Oz house or something, trying to like kill the characters and stuff. So I mean, it's definitely like one of my most anticipated movies next year, easily. It's coming out in February, yeah. So. I don't know, like, what the rest of the year is going to be, but like, I think the beginning, like, there's some pretty crazy movies coming out, like, the first half of the year. So, we also got the first trailer for the upcoming reteam of Sci-Fi and Ron Moore with Helix. Hmm. Did you guys watch that one? The teaser for Helix?
Hi. Sorry.
So it's basically, it's kind of like, it's the thing, kind of.
I did not know.
It's kind of like, it's like The Thing, but it's also kind of like, Andromeda Strain or Outbreak, because, like, this team of scientists has to go to this Arctic research station, where there's some sort of, like, disease outbreak, and then they get there, and then it's like, people are going psychotic, and they have to figure out, like, what this thing is and stop it before it gets out to the rest of the world.
Hmm.
And so it's kind of like The Thing, because it has like the Arctic setting, but it's also like disease control, like Outbreak or Andromeda Strain.
So it's like Outbreak, then.
Yeah. Show. Which I think they're, weren't they, didn't they say they're making an Outbreak show?
Yeah, like I remember
they were supposed to do that.
Like on NBC or something.
And I said, like, that was 10 years too late.
Yeah, I mean, this definitely, Helix looks like it seems like it's going to be some sort of, like, alien disease, and then people get, like, taken over by it and then start going psychotic or, like, trying to murder everyone.
It's just what you do.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so one of two Ron Moore shows coming next year, the other one is the Starz show, Outlander.
Which sounds more badass than the actual concept.
It's like romance, fantasy, historical epic.
Sci-fi rom-com?
Sci-fi rom-drum-com?
Rom-drum?
Rom-drum.
Rom-drum? Yeah.
So that's coming to Sci-Fi in January, I believe. And then last trailer actually came out today, Wednesday when we're recording this. The trailer for The Raid 2, which I think you guys have been slacking, have not seen Raid 1 yet, either of you guys, right?
It's on my to-do list.
Yeah, a complete utter action failure if you've not seen The Raid yet. It's coming out of your guys' pay.
Damn it.
But, I mean, yes, that came out, and so that and Dread came out the same year. They basically had the same sort of premise of, like, getting trapped in an apartment building and having to get out by fighting your way out. Raid was more martial arts and, like, crazy fight sequences, while Dread was, like, firepower and, like, blowing your way out of it. And they're both awesome in their own way. And, I mean, hopefully we get a Dread sequel, but, yeah, Raid 2 sequel is definitely coming. Looks even more violent, even more crazy than the first one. They're going outside the park, like, it's not going to be in one building, like, the first one, it's actually going to be, like, multiple places, but it's the main character from the first movie is going undercover to, like, try to take down this drug cartel, and I guess at some point he ends up in prison, looks like, from the trailer, and there's, like, little, like, glimpses of, like, all the crazy action going on, looks like there's, I mean, like, some sort of, like, insane fight scene involving, like, a car doing, like, donuts and stuff, and, there's people getting horribly murdered and beating the shit out of them, and so I'm definitely interested. The first one was, like, if you've not seen the first one, like, stop what you're doing and go watch it right now. Like if you're a fan of, like, the Tony Jaa movies, like the original Ong Bak or something, like one of those, or just, like, awesome martial arts in general, like, if you've not seen The Raid 1, like, I don't know what you're doing with your life, but it's the wrong thing. It should be coming out in the U- like Raid 2 should be coming out in the U.S. sometime next year. Sony put out the first one, so then they had the rights to the second one, so it should be coming out sometime soon next year. No solid date yet. And it's the star of the original one, and also the same director, who is Gareth Evans. So that's for trailers. So moving on, there was a ton of sequel news this past week or so. So the first one is that The Purge 2 is coming sometime in the near future, with the same director and who also wrote the movie, the original one. I think, have anyone seen The Purge yet? I know.
I have not, but I definitely want to.
I just got it for Redbox tonight, so. Because it was like rent one, get one free, so. I'll probably report on that next week, but.
Cool.
I mean,
Please do. I really want to see it as well. But.
The concept scene is kind of, like, awesome, so. And it did crazy numbers. It was like. Came out like a couple weeks after Iron Man 3 and like took the top spot at the box office away from Iron Man 3, so that it was like one of the like it was a crazy like pretty much every horror movie that came out this year was like a huge just like ridiculous smash. Like Evil Dead was number one, The Purge was number one, Conjuring was number one for like a ton of weeks. Carrie didn't do that as well. But yeah, I mean, I think it was like six, like five or six horror movies that are like opened above $30 million this year. And I think
like two horror movies came out. So.
Well, I mean, Evil Dead, Purge, Conjuring, one or two other ones, I think. But
like Paranormal Activity, or whatever.
Neither of those came out. There's like the Mexican one coming out next year.
Oh, yeah, right.
Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones. Paranormal Activity Presents.
The Spanish ones.
I think The Purge cost like $1 million to make or something. It was an insane low amount, and it made like $60 million or something, so obviously it was going to get a sequel. Actually, speaking of horror sequels, something I'm sure you're excited about, Chris. Saw 8 might be on the way.
I know.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. And it's like, you know, they can't just make a Saw 8 and be done. They gotta make another set and...
8 more movies.
What is that, an octrilogy? A trilogy? I don't know how to say that.
It's like a double quadrilogy.
I don't even know what you would call an 8 movie. Series.
8 movie series,
The Octagon.
So, I mean, it's great about the last Saw movies, but it finished and it's like a whole cycle repeats itself. And it's like, you don't need Jigsaw anymore. You just need like the whole idea.
The first four
Saw movies was the idea was greater than the actual person behind it.
Well, I mean, spoiler alert, but, you could just have, I can never remember how to, like, pronounce his name.
Weeble.
No. Well, I mean, the character is Dr. Gordon, but,
Gordon. Just Dr. Gordon should be the new Jigsaw.
I mean, that's what they set it up as. And he had, like, a pair of, like, pig-headed, like, henchmen with him. And they revealed he was like the ultimate like apprentice or whatever.
He was that was the cool part. People thought it was stupid, but in actuality, it was like it made more sense than like any of the apprentices. So, I mean, again, I don't know where it can go, but the fact they're still making more, I'm like way more excited.
It's kind of, like you just it's not that hard. I mean, the basic plot of the movies are not that, like, each movie individually is not that crazy. It's just, like, throw people in a trap people in a room, and they and then had to go through weird traps. But then they had, like, the weird, crazy, like, overarching, like, intertwining stories of, like, that was going on. But, I mean, if you want, like, just a new one would just be, like, and then just here's people trapped here.
Maybe like maybe guess who who's guilty this week and just like another weird bank group or something.
That might be my favorite one. Where, like all the people involved, like the shady like business like land deal.
Was that Saw?
I think that was four. And then like the twist of that one was like you were all supposed to work together to get out, but you let you because it required like. The final thing was, like, you needed, like, everybody to pump, like, everyone to give up, like, a liter of blood to get out. But then they only had, like, two people left, so they had, each of them had to give up, like half their blood to get out, and then they didn't get out.
They did get out, and then that's why only, like, one of them attends the survivor meeting of Saw 7.
Oh, yeah, because I think... Was it Julie Benz?
Yeah, Julie Benz is in that
one.
Was
she the one who like survived all of it, or
they all survived? Like her and the other guy survived.
Yeah, but... I thought like one of them killed the other. Like basically, like
no, they definitely killed all the original six and went on down to
yeah,
two.
Yeah, but then I thought one of them was like sorry, and they like cut like basically like, jammed their arm in, so it was just like
no, they both did because they needed to use like they needed
so,
to get
like fill a bottle of blood up to like a certain amount.
Yeah, it wasn't like if everyone was alive, it was like one pint each person. But the fact they killed everyone, they needed like 12 pints or something like that.
Because they're like, there was enough room in one of those tunnels for two people. But you let them die.
And they like never used that trick
and it was like,
again.
Like, and then like one other one was like, they had like linked themselves up to like run the shock through the bathtub or something.
Run the current through their... And it's like, it wouldn't kill them if they all did it there. Which is weird, because it's like, you have to calculate each person's mass to figure out that the electric current wouldn't go to their brain and kill them, like, just go through their, like, body real fast. So, like, so again, I love the Saw series for its weird gore porn, but the one thing I wish they saw was, like, the origin tale, where, like, the first few traps he makes don't go right, you know?
Yeah,
it's like...
We're
going
Hold on a second. I gotta just hold it right there. I gotta put some grease on this blade. Hold on a second.
Eat this like jar full of glass. Do it.
Here's a bug. Eat it.
It's just like a weird episode of Fear Factor. Just got wrong.
It's like, are you serious? Eat the bug. It represents your sin.
Hey, this door's unlocked. No, don't go out there.
It's like the Raw Chicken sketch. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they could easily just do another movie, and it would just be like, Dr. Gordon just trapped these people in here because they're like, they're doing something, like, something, probably have to be something medical. Like, they're like, they're like committing medical fraud or something, or like it's like just evil doctors or something. Well, they already did that though, because like wasn't that like the plot of like five or six, where it was like, like it was like basically the doctor who like denied him like insurance or something, had to like go through and like help like decide to help people or not. There's one where it was like it was like this weird like medical, like the Medicare message the whole movie.
That was six. That was, like, because Jigsaw's, like, insurance company refused to treat another guy's, like, cancer thing,
like,
so...
You decide who lives or dies. Now you will for real.
Like, that was kind of cool, though, because the twist... Like, the thing... Okay, it's like, when you watch them all in a row, it's kind of like they all have different messages.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like the same copy paste, like, you're locked here, here's a gun, like, good luck. And that was the beauty of it. But the fact that, like, you're making a seven means they're going to try new shit that's been going on, like, in horror movies lately.
Chris, because final chapter was seven.
Well, so again, seven was actually, like, the repeat. Like, nothing new.
Well, clearly it wasn't.
Yeah.
It's just, like, they just had to, like, wrap up their insane, complex, like, thing they built up of, like, 7 different apprentices and, like, all this other stuff going on. Like, Jigsaw's wife and all this other stuff going on.
Oh, it turns out she's also, like, a Jigsaw-esque killer herself. And then they
Jigsaw's
figure out...
mistress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, so...
Jigsaw's dog walker.
So, like I said, like, the fact that they're trying again, and the past 3 years, like, horror movies kind of improved. You know, like, there's been a rise of different types.
Well, now,
so maybe,
I mean,
like...
Now we're kind of back to, like, old school, just, like, haunted house movies and stuff. And go, like... I think definitely, like, we're not, there's not really any, like, torture porn is kind of, like, was just, like, a fad, kind of.
Yeah, that came and went. That came and went. And I think that Paranormal Activity sort of had its day, so to speak.
Like found,
but I think people got really tired
footage,
of that really quick. Right. So I think what people are doing is, or I think what the general vibe in Hollywood right now with horror seems to be is, like, hey, paranormal stuff is pretty big.
Yeah.
But you can only take the found footage aspect so far. So there's kind of been a shift back to, like, classical sort
which
of horror.
Why,
like, I mean, just look at, you know, The
Conjuring.
Yeah,
that's why,
you know?
I'm sure that's why The Conjuring was, like, this, like, just ridiculously massive hit this summer.
I mean, but it was low budget, too. And that's the thing. I think they've happily found the balance between how much money you have to spend to make a decent, in, like, actual movie. Not that a found footage movie is an actual movie, but you know what I mean? Like, they found the perfect balance between, like, budget and profit.
Yeah, because, like,
you know,
you had, like, Sinister, Insidious, The Purge, The Conjuring. They're all, like,
right,
they're,
right.
Like, if they're maybe, like, sub $10 million, probably sub $5 million for budget.
I think the most expensive one was Insidious, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So and even that wasn't very expensive, you know. But yeah, they're all you know, I'd say under $10 million easily.
Just need
they,
like some demons and Patrick Wilson or Ethan Hawke, and you got a movie.
Yeah,
baby, you got a horror movie going.
You got a horror movie, baby.
So yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
The Carl Weathers School of Horror Films.
So yeah, so we'll have to wait and see if Saw 8 actually shows up. I guess it's in quote unquote active development right now.
Along with Friday the 13th 2, the remake sequel, which has just been in like development hell, along with Halloween 3D, which is also in development hell. There's a lot of stuff, man, that's just like it's not anyone's top priority. But
they got to do something
still
like the rights.
At a simmer. Well, WB, who is it? Someone just got the Friday the 13th rights back.
Mm-hmm.
In some weird, like, Mexican standoff type deal that included that and, like, South Park or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. But there's a lot of stuff that's just kind of, like, they have the rights to it. They're just not really doing anything with it. But I have a feeling, like, seeing The Conjuring make so much, because The Conjuring made so much goddamn money. Like, it really did. Like, it made a lot of money for any movie, much less a movie that costs so little to make.
Like, literally,
what they're looking at now
is... The movie theater I work at, literally we got rid of The Conjuring, like, maybe, like, 2 weeks before it came out on DVD. Like, it was just, people were still going to it. It was still there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I guess they're, you know, they're kind of seeing that, like, story matters, you know? It really does. So, if you have a compelling movie, like, it doesn't have to be this giant budget. It just has to be made by talented people and have something to say. And there you go. And that was perfect, too, because it's about the Warrens, so you could always slap on that, like, based on true events sort of thing. Which is kind of gnarly, but yeah. More power to them all. You know, I hope that we're fans of the horror
we're
here.
Kind of, we're away from, like, the... There was that weird, like, exorcism trend for, like, a year or two.
Ah.
It was, like, the exorcism, like, Emery Rose and, like, The Rites and these other ones. like the Last Exorcism.
Exorcism, yeah. Like the Devil Inside, yeah. Last Exorcism 2.
Ernest saves
here, the possession. Yeah.
Ernest saves Exorcism.
Ernest performs Exorcism.
Ernest meets the devil. Ernest goes to exorcism school. Yeah, and not many of them were good. Not many of them were good.
I think Devil Inside is probably one of the worst movies ever made, according to what I've heard.
According to what I've heard as well. I mean, it's been in my queue. I just haven't brought myself to see it because I heard such god-awful things about it. You know? Like, it was one of those movies, allegedly, that was so... And not like, oh, it's so good, it's bad. But it was just like, no, this is just so bad, it's upsetting. Yeah.
Like, I want my money back.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
So, one last bit of sequel news to talk about. Apparently, yes. The Wolverine 2 is coming up.
Well, yeah.
With Hugh Jackman, obviously, back as Wolverine, and then James Mangold back to direct. I think neither of you guys have seen The Wolverine either, right?
I did.
You did, Chris? Okay.
Not yet.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because we talked about it. Yeah.
Not yet, but I'm fired, so. It's okay.
So yeah, I don't know. Like, I just want to double check. I don't think they mentioned any sort of like story, like any sort of like storyline that they would like that they're thinking about doing or anything.
No,
but...
no, they're doing it. The writer of the first Wolverine is doing a treatment. And that's pretty much it. So the treatment isn't a script. The treatment isn't even a full... It's basically like a story. Like, a treatment to me seems like the funnest part of movie making, because when you actually have, like, you know, a deadline and a movie to write, it's probably very frustrating, and it's probably very, like, you know... I don't know, there's probably a lot of tension involved with, like, having a deadline and trying to make art like that with so much... money invested in it. So to me, the idea of having to do the treatment where it's literally just like, hey, I'm gonna like put like my greatest hits as far as ideas on paper and try to get people excited, like that's basically what doing a treatment is. So that's the stage that they're at right now. I forget the gentleman who wrote the piece about it on IGN when they covered the news, but he had a very good suggestion, which was kind of like a cough cough nudge nudge, like let's do Old Man Logan and have it be Hugh Jackman's like send off as Wolverine.
That would be pretty awesome.
Did you guys read Old Man Logan?
I would be very happy with that. Yeah, Old Man Logan.
Zach, did you?
I mean, I know what it's about. I haven't actually read the whole thing though.
It's, for lack of a better term, it's kind of like his, like, Dark Knight Returns a little bit, but it's much different than that. But it's in the same vein, you know?
Yes, yes. This is actually, like, another reimagining of, like, the end of Logan, because I know they did, like, three versions, and this is the most recent, I think. And it's really cool what they did with Old Man Logan. And, like, I kind of wish they even did it like a motion comic, you know? Like, it deserves that, at least.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just did, like, probably like a month or two ago, they did the... Well, I mean, right when Wolverine came out, the Origins motion comic.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
Right. Is there any other, like, storyline for Wolverine that would be awesome to be on the big screen?
I don't know that there's what, see, cause here's the thing. If they're gonna have Days of Future Past end this iteration of X-Men, then I feel like having a Wolverine sequel would probably have to be like Wolverine's send-off. So something like Old Man Logan to me would make the most sense, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what they're gonna do. Mm-hmm. But personally, I would really like to see him at least get to fight Omega Red.
Oh, man.
At least
yes.
Once. I really want to see Hugh Jackman's Wolverine fight Omega Red. We didn't get to see Glenn Danzig's Wolverine fight Omega Red in the early 90s. So let's please see Hugh Jackman's.
Yeah, I don't know what story that'd be, but yeah, definitely like a villain like we haven't seen before, like Omega Red.
Yeah, man. Listen, somebody, honestly, like, they don't even need to adapt crazy, from like, the comic.
Like mutant Wolverine villains they could throw in there.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, I would listen. I'm not gonna be upset if they put Omega Red in a movie and it's not like 100% true to the comic origins.
I mean,
you feel me? Like
they did. Dr. Octopus was pretty good. So in Spider-Man 2. So they have the technology to do tentacles and stuff like that.
Well, they have the technology to do tentacles, but I'm talking about specifically like the story. Yeah. Like maybe you're right. Maybe there isn't a story that could be adapted from the comics at this particular juncture where it makes sense for Wolverine to fight Omega Red. But by that same token, I'm totally fine with him just kind of being like unleashed on him out of nowhere.
Like some weird, like, who the fuck weird Soviet bunker gets opened and it's just like, oh god, Omega Red.
Exactly.
Omega Red is played by Dolph Lundgren.
I think that's how it has to happen. I think it has to be Dolph Lundgren or maybe Fedor Emelianenko, but probably Dolph Lundgren.
Wolverine, I must break you.
Yeah, man. That would be cool. Unless they do like a... Unless they just call Tom Hardy and they're like, listen, we need you to put back on all that muscle. Yeah. We need you to go and break Wolverine. And you have to use the same voice.
Or should it just be something with like Weapon X? like the Weapon X team or something.
Man, that would be fine too.
The one part of Origins
was really bad. Like, was that the fact that in the beginning, the Weapon X team did two missions, and that was it. Like, and they never went into what he's been up to, like, what they did that was so horrific in Africa, besides harass the Africans.
Yeah. Well, I don't really remember the movie.
The game!
Like, they massacred the entire village for, like, some weird, I think it was adamantium diamond, like, adamantium asteroid fragments or something.
Yeah, which like they found one little piece of in the movie, and then they're like, okay, let's never talk about this again.
Murder the entire village. Yeah, if they just did a total reboot of like the Weapon X team, and then they could spin it off into Deadpool.
A total recall, maybe?
It's like that movie.
Like,
I apologize.
Do, like, actual, like, more comic book versions of, like, Longshot and...
Longshot wasn't part of that.
Who the heck is the... Maverick. Yeah, that's... There's so many, like, Marvel characters with, like, the same powers.
It's, like, Silver Fox, Maverick, Sabretooth, and Deadpool. But Deadpool was, like, didn't make the cut. Yeah. That was the thing. He was the experimental group. So they were all part of that Canadian research group. Mm-hmm. But he didn't get part
get
of
some,
Weapon X.
Get some puck in there. Puck whose like powers like bounce around.
Well, his power is kinetic energy. Yeah. Like the more you threw him, the stronger he got. Which was a weird little person
or
joke.
Just be like, Wolverine, like, hunting, like, Wendigo or something.
That would be cool.
Or even if some weird future where Hulk versus Wolverine happens, and he breaks
Ultimate
him.
Hulk versus Ultimate Wolverine in the movie.
Please. Don't even tease me.
That book got insane.
Yeah, when he threw me, it took him like 6 months to find his legs.
Like all ripped in half on top of like Mount Everest and like threw him across like Asia.
They need to crawl around for a few months.
And Hulk was like had some like crazy just like he took over like a Buddhist temple and had just like had, like this crazy harem with him. And was just like drinking and just like banging like he's like Himalayan like monk Himalayan ladies and just like having the monks serve him and stuff.
It's what you do when you're a giant green monster. Yeah.
So, anyway, probably one more bit of sequel we should talk about is that there's been, like, this crazy, like, back and forth going on about Army of Darkness 2. Have you guys been following that?
I heard the writing team. Dismay. Yeah.
Where it's like Bruce Campbell announced, like, oh, yeah, we're definitely doing Army of Darkness 2, and then, like, yesterday or somewhat, like, today or something, he's like, no, probably not. We're not doing Army of Darkness 2. And then, like...
What? Who are you? Get out of here.
Yeah. And then, like, Fede Alvarez, who directed Evil Dead, is like, I don't know if they're making Evil Dead 2, but I'm not directing it, so... This, like, grand plan that they had of, like, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness 2, and then merger movie, seems like probably never... might not happen now.
It's too awesome to exist, yeah, apparently.
Exactly. Because there's like, it's all this is crazy of like, oh yeah, Sam Raimi's gonna direct Army of Darkness 2. He's coming back, man. So I was like, yeah, it's happening. And now they're just like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't say that. Which I'm sure, I think Evil Dead 2 did. I mean, Evil Dead did pretty awesome. So I'm sure they would probably do an Evil Dead 2.
Why wouldn't they at this point?
Yeah, well, they're definitely doing... Here's the thing. They're definitely doing Evil Dead 2. Like, that's a foregone conclusion, because that movie made a lot of money, and it had an excellent critical response, and Fede Alvarez wants to do it.
But now you just said, I don't know if I'm directing or not.
Well, that's the thing.
And then he just got...
I think...
I forget what he just got attached to, but it was something else, like, to direct.
Well, that doesn't mean that they're doing it right away. It might not be fast-tracked, but that also might be because, I mean, they can't have them come out at the same time, unfortunately, because they want to, you know, keep the series fresh. Like, they don't want to have, like, you know, Evil Dead 2 come out in July and then have Army of Darkness 2 come out in August. Like, they want to be able to probably do, like, a every other summer sort of thing. But more importantly... I think this is a classic case. First of all, Bruce Campbell is awesome. He's known for his misdirection and for kind of being coy about stuff, but also kind of like getting into it with fans. And I don't mean like being a jerk or anything. I just mean like kind of toying with us. You know, he loves us. We love him. So it'll be the kind of thing where it's like, what? I didn't say that. No, I didn't. Huh? Who are you? I'm here. So... I would not at all be surprised if he was being totally sincere with the first bit of news or whatever that broke about him sort of, I guess, pretty much confirming it, we'll say, right? I would not be surprised if he was being genuine there and that's the truth of it, but maybe he got a talking to because of that, you know? Or maybe they were like, hey, Bruce, like, what the fuck, man? Like, can't be talking about it. You know, who knows? Or maybe he didn't get a talking to. Maybe he was just trying to throw the scent off of it because he saw that it actually became a story. And maybe he didn't want, you know, attention. I don't know. To me, for the story to change that drastically in less than a year, something terrible would have had to have happened. Like, Sam Raimi would have had to have been given some, like, giant... directorial opportunity. Like, Sam Raimi legitimately would have to be directing the next, like, solo Batman movie for after the success of Evil Dead's reboot to not, and after saying that they were doing Army of Darkness 2, I think that something that big would have to come up for him to not do it. And it was never like, oh, we don't want to do it. It's just that the timing has never been right. And they didn't feel like they had a story to tell. But I mean, now all the indications that we've all got was that producing the Evil Dead remake kind of got them back into that mindset. Yeah, you know what? I still think there's a lot there for, you know, these characters in this universe.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you remember when Bruce Campbell said he wasn't going to be in the Evil Dead remake?
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, man.
He kind of just showed up, so let's see what happens. Yeah.
to me, that little spoiler alert, but to me, after the credits of The Evil Dead, you know, what that says to me is that, you know, they hear us. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not necessarily, it's not necessarily confirming anything. It's not necessarily saying that, you know, hey, look for us in Evil Dead 2 or Army of Darkness 2. Or, like, Ash will see you soon. Like at the end of some of the Marvel movies where it's like, Captain America will return in The Avengers. Like, they're not necessarily going to show us that. But it's basically telling fans what's up. It's like, yes, we hear you. It's in the works. And if it's me, if this is a betting situation, I'm betting the house on Evil Dead 2 happening.
I really hope
Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness 2. My bad.
I really hope at the end of Evil Dead 2 remake, it's like Bruce Campbell's walking away and he puts on a Liam Neeson mask and walks into a crowd.
Yes.
And as a reverse like, Dark Man
like,
ending,
like three people in each theater will get it and be like, "Yes!"
Yeah.
Everyone else will be just like,
"This has been 20 years in the making."
Yeah. Everyone else in theater,
the reverse Dark Man.
Everyone else in theater will be just like, "What?
Huh?
Taken?
Taken, not stirred."
So, speaking of reboots and remakes and all that stuff. There's a couple other reboots that got announced or are in development apparently right now. So first one is, I guess MGM is going to reboot The Addams Family as an animated movie.
Nope.
Yes. It's great to see more Addams Family, but the movies
not
to
like
me
that.
Are like, yeah, not like this.
Not like
it's
this.
It's like a weird, it's a weird like, oh, I wanted to bring my family, like, my family back from the dead, and it's like, it's a zombie, not like this!
I put the Addams Family, put my Addams Family DVDs in the Pet Cemetery, and they came back like this.
It came back and it haunted me. It got all jappy.
So,
I would kind of like to see, I know this might sound kind of weird or whatever, but I would actually really be interested in seeing a live-action reboot, or reimagining, whatever you want to call it, of the Addams Family, but with someone like Steve... Well, not a gritty reboot,
a
not
Rob
like a Christopher
Zombie
Nolan
Addams
Family,
Family,
but like a. Well,
Rob
dude,
Zombie.
Rob Zombie's Addams Family, I would be the first person in line to see that.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, man! But maybe you know with someone like Steve Carell as Gomez Adams, like I could see that happening. That could be kind of cool. I just don't understand. Like the Addams Family is fun, but it's not exactly some like beloved franchise where they're like, oh my god, we cannot attempt to recreate this magic with another mortal man. Like, we, you know, like it's not like they're trying to remake Casablanca. Like, it's the Addams Family. Like, I feel like you could have done live action, but I guess animation is cheaper and sells better toys, so
yeah.
Who knows?
And I guess they said it's going to be, I guess, closer to like the original comics.
Those are comic series?
I mean, everything Addams Family is based on these original, like, 30s comics from this guy. I think his name was, Charles Adams.
Oh, like the weird,
like,
very,
like,
New York
Times-esque. Yeah, the New York Times, like, comics or whatever.
I don't even consider those comics. Like, they're like weird, like commentary pieces, because it felt like a weird parody of like political comics.
Yeah, I mean, there were like one panel, like someone does something, and it's just like a picture.
Yeah, and they're like, how weird, and like
how bizarre.
And they're very.
Do you guys remember? Do you remember the cartoon show that was kind of
sure
popular?
Do. That was on right before or right after MC Hammer.
Yes,
I remember that shit.
Hammer Man.
Fuck yeah.
Hammer. That's like the most like awful yet awesome title like theme songs ever, because this is like it's MC Hammer explaining the show. I bought this.
You're goddamn
I went
right it
to
was.
The thrift shop and I bought a pair of shoes. And then they were magic.
And also, this happened too. Like, what?
I still remember his shoes. I just still remember his shoes destroyed a housing complex.
And they talked.
And, like, he transformed from regular MC Hammer to, like,
nerdy MC Hammer to Hammer Man.
Jesus
Christ. It was like Steve Urkel and Steve Urkel.
Ah, Stefan Urkel.
Stefan.
That was my fucking father. I love Stefan Urkel so much.
Not as racist as when he became, like, Bruce Lee.
Bruce Steve.
And then...
like, his, like, female version or whatever.
Myrtle Urkel.
Myrtle.
Why do I know so much about Family Matters?
Jesus.
There was a great... I think it might have been the AV Club. It might have been somewhere else last week, because it was Halloween. But someone wrote, like, this, like... It was, like, this, like, the article about, like, the Halloween episode of Family Matters, where, like, Steve had his, like, ritual gestal, and it murdered everyone. Or, like, stole everyone's souls or something. It was some crazy, like, Family Matters episode.
With, like, the evil mannequin. It's a good episode. It's really scary. Mm-hmm.
Family Matters just got, like, insane in, like, the last season.
Well, they went to space and then...
And then they got, they shrunk down. Like he and Carl got shrunk down from some invention and then...
Well, because it became like every third episode was a weird Honey, I Shrunk the Kids-esque
like,
plot.
Oh god, Steve has a new invention. Whoa!
Do you remember when he invented a robot that wanted to fuck Laura?
And then his jetpack that transported him across America to Step by Step.
Oh my god. Do you remember when it was Disney
And then there
World?
Was like that one episode, there was like the episode...
They all did.
They had like the crazy, like... There's always like TJF, like... All right, every episode, this... It's like, all right, TGIF, Halloween episodes.
Those were the best.
Like it's like, all right, Salem's in every episode, and now think crazy things are happening.
Yes. Oh, that's Salem.
Yep. I think he showed up, it was like... They did like the weird, like... It was like, I know what you did last summer, Boy Meets World episode or something. Or like, the one where like... It was like World War II, Boy Meets World.
Oh my god, yeah. Oh, I totally forgot about
that. The Boy Meets World episode, like, World War II, Boy Meets World.
Oh god, where it's like Corey gets drafted or whatever.
He holds the grenade too long, and they think he, like, got blown up. And he ends up in France.
It was just a crazy mix-up.
And, like, a second later, it was like, he runs out and, like, throws his other grenade, and it's like, wait, Corey, Jeremy just surrendered. No! So, anyway, moving on to other reboot news. Apparently, there might be a new version of Sleepaway Camp coming sometime in the near future.
There sure is.
Let me just double check and see who is doing that, but,
No idea.
Yeah, I mean, have you guys seen the original Sleepaway Camp?
Yep.
Fuck yeah. It's a classic.
Cult horror classic.
I saw it, like, really young. I think, like, back when, like, Showtime showed it by accident, and then, I didn't watch it for a long time, and then I think in college, like, my freshman year, we watched it, and I totally forgot the plot up until the point where it's like, plot twist, boy, girl, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. Like the very end, though, dude. That's, like, not even a twist.
Right, but, like, I kind of forgot
brain. It's not, like, a plot thing. It just kind of happens.
Well, my brain, like, totally like, blocked it out when I was, like, my brain shielded itself when I was, like, 4, you know? And then... watching it now,
dude,
it's like,
that's
this,
a defense
this can
mechanism,
happen?
Dude.
I know.
When you're that young, when you're in single digits, you're not supposed to see a girl with a penis.
No.
Like, that's just, like, I don't, listen, no
I'm
matter
pretty sure,
what
I'm
you're
not
into,
say,
what your sexual preference
is,
when you're that young, you're
catalyst.
Not supposed to see a meaty boy.
I know, but, like, it's not, like, the catalyst to who I am as a human being. It's not like I'm fucking, like, boy, like, lady boys, but... I'm saying my brain totally forgot this moment happened, and then it's like, huh. And then I was like, how come in the 80s, like, ladyboy, like, killers weren't, like, a big
trend? Like, was it some weird gamble where it's like, yeah, like, the next horror trend, like, isn't, like, disformed people, like, which most, like, horror villains were. It's like, ah, it's gonna be transvestites. It's gonna be trannies. Like, oh.
Well, yeah, that failed. Mm-hmm. That did not take off.
I think in a way, Texas Chainsaw Massacre... It did.
Yeah.
I think, what, I've been saying, like, wasn't Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, like, a tranny?
Yeah. Yeah, it was played by Jay Moore, actually. So
wow.
There you go. Enjoy that next time he wants to be a...
He offers me something.
Hey, weren't you the tranny killer in TCM3, or the Next Generation, or whatever it was? Fucking prick.
He's a fun guy.
No, I'm just fucking around, of course. I obviously have no problem with Mr. Moore. I quite enjoy his body of work.
So, so pretty much no details about Sleepaway Camp. It's like, basically one producer's like, I'd like to do it.
Yeah, well, one of the guy who, or I'm sorry, the person who played Angela, in that movie, that woman actually owns part of the franchise, believe it or not.
And there's going to be like anniversary or just like special edition of the Sleepaway Camp 1 coming out.
What is it, like Horror House or Scream Factory
Shout Factory.
Shout Factory, yeah. Well, those motherfuckers are great. They're basically doing, they're like the Criterion Collection for fucking like Gore House horror, man. I'm really... really digging what they're
along
about.
With like Mr. Science Theater and everything else they put out.
Yes. Oh man. I'd like to buy stock.
They did like Transformers G.I. Joe collections too.
Yes.
So moving on to other stuff. The Rock has a bunch of movies coming up in the near future. And a new one just got added to that list today. He's probably going to star in a movie called SEAL Team 666.
A.K.A. Doom.
Yeah, basically, like Doom on Earth.
That sounds like a Danny Trejo movie waiting to happen. Are you sure it's The Rock? Because that sounds...
Yeah. Does The Rock have a weird, like, cousin or something where it's like... It isn't, like... Yeah, where it's, like, not The Rock... Dwayne Johnson, but it's like a Rock, you know, it's like the boulder
the Johnson. Stone.
Yeah, I mean, just like what?
Pebbles.
Yeah.
The son of the Rock. Like, okay.
The Rock 2.
Rockier, oh.
Yeah, I guess there's like some sort of some book that
it's always
that
a came book. Out
that it was about, I mean, if you can't tell from the title, it's about, like, Navy SEALs and other special forces fighting demons.
I swear to God, this is what Doom was, and he was in that, as, like, Sarge, so.
oh, whatever.
I mean, it's The Rock, so I'm sure we'll be there.
Yeah.
I know, but he could be driving cars against Ben Diesel. He could be the Tooth Fairy 4. You know, he could be doing other things.
Actually,
listen, I'm about to say something shocking. You could show me a tape of, like, The Rock fucking my mother. I'll probably want to watch it because it's The Rock. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a pretty big fan.
It's like, oh my God, he's so charismatic.
Be like, oh my God. He's so strong.
I hope he calls her after.
Yeah, really. I hope he bought her dinner, Rock. He's a gentleman.
So, man. And then, actually, speaking of Vin Diesel, he might be starring in an adaptation of Kenan Lynch, the video game that Chris is a fan of.
What?
Gerard Butler.
Man, this movie has gone through so many different iterations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has.
I remember it was Bruce Willis and, Billy Bob Thornton, and then instead of Billy Bob Thornton became Jamie Foxx, and then...
Either of those two movies, I would have paid to see.
They were, like, in pre-production with, like,
Fox. Yeah, man.
And then, for some strange reason, something happened, and you didn't see them at all.
This movie was, like, a bigger debacle than Superman Lives.
What happened? The movie...
John Schnapp, friend of everything action.
Yeah, so...
But yeah, dude, it's like false start, flag on the play, let's try it again, and then people are dropping out of the product, the production. Mm-hmm. It's kind of strange, that, like, not to sound like a total dick, but like, it's kind of shocking that there's still even like a demand for this movie, you know?
Because like...
It's kind of like the Need for Speed movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, God, yeah.
Where it's like, it's been started and stopped so many times that it's like, do we even want to make this anymore? And it's just like some Titanic captain who's going down with the ship like, no, God damn it. I believed in this.
We paid for the rights.
Exactly.
And like, the second game came out and like, no one really cared.
Yeah, man.
Although I heard it's like, so... I heard the second game was like way better than the first one.
I couldn't tell you.
I know, Chris, like, how long did you play that one part in college? Like,
oh my
the
god!
Fucking, like dump truck sequence.
Like two nights, two fucking nights.
Versus like
me and Ryan Brown.
Like, yeah.
Like it got to the point where like we had to stop, and then the next night we picked up. Another 3 hours went like, by,
the fucking,
and
like,
then we finally
the fucking, like,
dump did
truck it. Like kept running over your daughter.
It was like. The worst part is, like, you know, it's like there's some moments that you have to ingrain in your head. Like, when your firstborn is, like, birth, you're like, oh, I will never forget this moment. Like, when you get your first car, when you first time had sex. This is, like, the opposite spectrum where it's, like, something horrific has happened and you can't forget. It's like meeting Hitler and, like, never forgetting when you met Hitler. Like, oh.
Watching a pet die. Like, like terrible. Terrible things.
9/11 started.
Car wreck. Yeah. The plane going into the first tower. Like, all those terrible things.
And this is just, like, part of that. So, Kate Lynch to me is, like, this personal vendetta. I'm like, I need to see this through. Like, it's a part of me. So, now I want to be part of it, you know? Like, I need to, like, support it. So, like, I've completed the cycle. It's a very dark past for me. So.
Did you play 2?
I own okay. 2. I own 1 and 2. And 2 was, like, totally not as difficult.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Chris actually has a developer credit on the second game. He's a big fan.
So, anyway, last bit of news for this week is that, just announced today and blowing up on the internet, is that, Blockbuster is done. Like, RIP Blockbuster.
Oh, man.
What am I going to do with my reward card?
You're going to cash that bitch in.
I've got a certificate that I should cash in and be like, hey, can I buy the store now?
Man, I just can't win because when I joined their mail service, like within a month, the store that was like less than like a half a mile from my house closed. And I was like, God damn it, there goes my unlimited in-store exchanges. And then they started, like, losing funding, so they were like, yeah, we're getting these new releases in, and then they'd only order, like, 20 copies of a new release, like, nationally
yeah.
for their mail-away service. And you're like, God damn it, like, why is there a six-month wait? Like, at least when Netflix gets something, like, 3 weeks after it's released in stores, you can get it, you know? Like, they'll say, oh, it's coming out in December instead of November, but on the first day that it's out, if you time your queue right, chances are you can actually get it. But fucking Blockbuster, man, they were just slipping. And then I moved down to sunny Florida, and the Blockbuster that was here when I was a wee lad, when I was, like, less than 2 years old, that I still can remember going to when I was, like, a really little kid visiting my grandma, it's still here, it's still open. They do the in-store exchanges, and I was like, man, I might join Blockbuster again as soon as I get my first paycheck. Well, my paycheck's coming tomorrow for people listening to this, and guess what got announced today? Blockbuster is going out of business. So I guess God hates me, and God also hates Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm. So I guess in early next year, they're just going to, like, pretty much every, like, I guess they have 300 stores left nationwide, and they're all done.
Yep. Over 2,000 jobs down the drain, and then fucking my favorite part is that the mail-away service, which you would think that they could, like, continue for a little bit, it's just done. Like, they're basically saying, like, yeah, please send back what you have. Like, we are no longer a thing.
We need to sell them to sort of salvage anything we can.
Well, okay. And it really makes me wonder, like, why Dish even bought them.
Yeah.
Like, they just bought them for the novelty? Like, I don't get... It's like killing Batman and, like, just to have his cowl. It's like, yes, I'm the one who killed the Batman. Like, they're basically like, yes, we're the ones who finally sank Blockbuster, and now its head is on our mantle like a trophy.
they have a Blockbuster VHS tape on their mantle, like, mounted.
Yeah, man.
Like, if like, Netflix bought Blockbuster, it makes sense. As like, fuck you, you know? But this is like a different company that just bought them for like the novelty.
It would have been like when Vince McMahon bought WCW, where you were like, oh man, does this mean WWF wrestlers are going to wrestle WCW wrestlers? No. It just means WCW's gone. Yep. Like that's all it really meant. So I feel like that's kind of what Dish did. Like they just wanted that notch in their belt. Like at first I was like, oh, maybe Dish is going to have like Blockbuster on demand or like something cool like that or some sort of like exclusive streaming service. Mm-hmm. Not the case.
On the plus side, if you have Blockbuster next to you, you're going to have a pretty awesome going out of business sale.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look at
like,
that.
Get, just buy like armloads of DVDs for like like every DVD is like $2 or something. And then like you buy like buy like the shelves and stuff too.
Oh, well, okay. Absolutely buy
so
the
fun,
shelves.
Fun story.
Like, the carpeting. Be like, how old is this carpet?
The fun story about that was that me and Brian Mayo, like when we heard Blockbuster, like the whole like state Vermont was going under, like all the
Blockbuster.
Me and him jumped in his car and just drove to like 3 Blockbusters that whole day, just like buying shelves of crap we didn't need, you know, just like. I don't know, just give me a bunch of, like, these DVDs, and, like, well, like, I went on a hunt for finding, like, obscure shit.
Give me all the Steven Seagal movies you have. Fill this
and,
bag
like,
with Steven
the more,
Seagal.
The more you waited, the lower it went in price, where it's, like, 10 for a dollar. Like, nothing can go wrong. And then, oh, man. So, I only watched half the movies I bought. I bought, like, 30 movies and just, like, have them.
Yeah, I think you buy them at that price point just because you can.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, I already have a copy of this movie, but it's dollars, so.
I mean, coasters cost more than this, so just keep buying them as coasters.
Well, you can buy DVDs and use them as coasters, you know? Like, that's how cheap they're probably giving them away. But I'm actually kind of, I know this is going to sound, like, counterintuitive or whatever, but I'm actually most excited about, like, grocery shopping there. Because it's like, I'll give you, like, 30 cents for this 2-liter of Sprite. They're like, okay, that seems fair. Like, yeah.
I see you have a bunch of this, like,
got
Pop
it.
Secret. Can I, it's like, how much of this Pop Secret?
Yeah, man.
Or, like, this, like,
I bought,
display.
Like, 8 pounds of Orville Redenbacher.
How much for this, like, PS3 demo station?
Oh, my God. Just go there,
that would be
slam
awesome.
Down 20 bucks and be like, how much for your shirt? Yeah, your Blockbuster shirt. I want to own that.
Clutch that now.
Give me that polo. How much for your awning? What? Your awning? You heard me.
buy something obscure. How much for your O
cash
on your Blockbuster sign?
On the cash register. And all the money in it.
Or just randomly buy their like plastic like VHS cassette like cases. Yep. You know, the like Blockbuster video
ones. Go in the back and get all your VHSs. I know they're back
there. I want all your cases. I'm gonna start using them for like Tupperware, like just filling them with spaghetti. Like it was a simpler time.
Is this dishwashable? What is this dishwashable?
Fuck it! I'll buy enough so that I could use it and throw it out.
They used to put Super Mario Bros. The movie in here.
Please.
So anyway, so that's it for news this week. Anything else you guys can think of we need to talk about, news-wise? Alrighty. So, moving on, there's actually new releases this week, unlike last week. So our pick of the week is Mad Men Season 6.
Still need to finish season 5.
Okay, yeah, because you're always behind everything, Chris.
Totally, but I don't know why. I'm in this, like, pit. I don't know how to get out of it.
I know Joe and I both watched it, and it was a pretty amazing season.
It was pretty good.
Lots of crazy mergings going on, and business happening, and everyone getting high on drugs, and, like, like the weird, like, energy drugs. This will give you energy, boys.
Oh, let's do it. Nothing about this will end poorly.
So yeah, and then also we also have The Hobbit: An Unexpected Journey, the extended edition.
Nice.
White House Down.
Your favorite.
Yeah, one of the worst movies I saw this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys see it. Maybe you might have a different opinion. But I definitely thought it clearly lost the White House, Die Hard in the White House battle this year. Lopez has Fallen is like infinitely superior in every way to it. Also have Grown Ups 2 out this week.
Yeah.
And,
that's a movie.
Mm-hmm. 30th anniversary of The Right Stuff.
I've only seen that movie once. I wonder if it's aged well.
I'm sure it's still pretty good. I don't know if, like, the space stuff would hold up that well. I'm sure it would be as, like, hold up as well as, like, Apollo 13 or something, but... also have... the 30th anniversary of Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Nice.
Classic. Which is, like, the most obvious casting ever, which, like, man, who can we... like, what Disney character we get to play Scrooge? What about Scrooge?
The name practically writes itself.
Season 1 of Under the Dome is out this week. Which started off pretty good, and then just the kind of went downhill until like the season finale, where it just ended like this all, like the season finale just like was just like suit like all the stupid stuff that just happened, and it didn't really get you excited for next season. Like there wasn't like a big cliffhanger or anything. It was just like, what the fuck is happening? Dean Norris, why are you here? But it's kind of hilarious that, like, Dean Norris is, like, the Walter White of that show. He's, like, just, like, this, like, insanely evil, like, businessman. Just, like, murdering, like, I'm going to take over this town now that Dome's here. Also, Dome. 30th anniversary of A Christmas Story is out this week on Blu-ray.
Very cool.
Christmas
very
classic.
Cool. Oh, yes.
We got the James Dean collection out this week, the Ultimate Collector's Edition.
Nice.
Which has, like, Rebel Without a Cause, obviously, and a bunch of other ones. East of Eden. Trying to look and see what other ones on there, but I can't really...
Other films as well.
Other James Dean movies. And then also have second season of Magic City, which is a show.
Nice.
This is a Starz show. Isn't that set in like the 80s or something? It's like 80s Miami or something. Or 70s Miami or something like that. It's some period, like, crime drama. Also, 25th anniversary of Scrooged out this week. The complete Boy Meets World.
just in time for that reboot.
Yeah. When is that airing? Like,
Girl Meets World.
When is that showing up?
Sometime.
Probably summer.
Probably already aired. We just don't know. It's not like ABC Family or whatever, so no one knows. And also, the complete series for Seinfeld's out this week on DVD in one set.
Nice.
And then, As I Lay Dying, which is James Franco, Timberlake Nelson, Danny McBride, a movie adaptation of the William Faulkner novel.
Hmm.
I think it's really serious, James Franco and Danny McBride.
I've never seen him in anything serious. Film. Yeah, so. Can you imagine, like, if someone told you, like, this is going to be a funny movie, and it's like, ha ha ha, like, this is not supposed to be funny. Like, you're just, like, ready to laugh at anything he says.
It's like the Family Guy Philadelphia joke.
I have AIDS. Yeah.
10th anniversary of Elf's out this week. Yeah, Elf is 10 years old, guys.
What the fuck? Really? I am an old man.
Complete collection of Weeds.
I hear good things.
Never seen it.
I hear it's the funnier Breaking Bad.
Because about pot, Chris, not meth.
But, like, she gets deep into the whole drug business deal. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, the funnier, like, lighter version where it's, like, it's only, like, a 5-year penalty.
Complete series of Farscapes out this week.
Ooh.
And also the complete collection of Saved by the Bell was out this week.
I thought that came out already, but I guess it didn't.
It might be a release or something, I'm not sure. And then last thing on this week is UFC Ultimate Fight Collection 2013, which we are giving away on the site right now. So you should go enter that. That is every fight from July 2013 to June 2013. Oh, wait, July 2012 to June 2013. So it's like, I think it's over 200 fights. So if you're a fan of UFC, like, definitely get into that contest. It's a details on the site if you want to go check that out.
Good.
So that's it for the releases this week, so why don't we get into show and tell. And Joe, what are you watching this past week or so?
This past week, I'm kind of behind, so other than catching up on some, very good TV, I saw The Heat.
Okay.
Which I was a big fan of. That movie was funny as shit.
It seemed like it. I'm sure I saw, like, at least half of it, just out of context at work.
Yeah, out of context, not great, but Melissa McCarthy really stole the show. And Sandra Bullock is just America's sweetheart, so there's really, you can't not love the woman. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, good shit, man. I did not expect to like it as much as I did, but it was a genuinely very funny movie. I highly recommend
it.
And that's pretty much it.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Chris?
I've been watching The Following. Because I've been behind on TV horror shows. And I got sucked into, like, a 5-hour marathon.
Oh my god, that show is so awful.
Not for the first, like, 2. I'm gonna say. Because that's when, like, the old feeling of watching, like, 24 came to me. Where I'm like, oh, like, it's just kind of intense. And there's all these character build-ups. And it's all this, like, action that for no reason happens. Where it's, like, stupidity.
Yeah, the first episode's pretty good.
Yeah.
Is the first episode the one like where the girl like shows up and like cuts herself or something?
Yeah, she shows up and kills herself like right on the spot,
covered in like Edgar Allan Poe writing.
Poe quotes. Yep. And I thought this would lead to like a bigger like mystery, and they solve it within like a second. Went, oh, it's Poe quotes. Okay. And I was like, that was useless.
Like, he's obsessed with Edgar Allan Poe.
And then, like.
right when it got to the culty thing where it's like slowly they were like, it's not really a cult, and it's like they keep saying that, but like, yeah, it's a cult. Yeah. Like, they just won't say
it's
it.
It's not
weird.
A cult, but we brought in our cult FBI expert to
yeah. And I was like, okay. Like, and then it got kind of ramped up in stupidity where yeah. If it's not part of the main cast, whatever cop or like FBI agent they have with yeah. them always gets
or,
killed.
Or is a secret member of like the serial killer.
Secret group. Member of the cult, yeah.
That is infiltrated like every echelon of American society.
I do enjoy that because
like,
some of them
like,
it's,
there's, like
it's,
business, there's like super high up like businessman killers, and there's also like just like dumb college kids.
Or like my favorite is like homely housewife.
Yeah.
It's like they're background characters though. I haven't finished like watching enough to figure out if like, they yeah. do anything. But
they're like living on this like goddamn like commune now. Like serial killer commune.
Some weird Professor X type house yeah. where there's just like endless space and well furnished yeah. for like a cult. A lot of the characters introduced are very one-dimensional, which is funny because as when you figure out like enough, either they get killed off or they're like, I'm also secretly crazy. You know, like that part is always funny, especially when like cops turn around and like, hey, I'm part of them. Ugh, like I'm a follower. I think this is one intense moment. I think in like episode 5 or 6, where like all the extra connections start popping up, you know, where I know Zach, you've been watching it. Like you watch up to like episode 7 and there's a point in episode 5 where they start revealing like how everyone knows each other, you know, how like the cult expanded beyond the first like 30 yeah. people. Cause it's like the first 30 people that came to visit the crazy doctor, the professor guy that started the cult,
Joseph
like he only
Campbell.
Knows those 30. He only knows those 30, and apparently that 30 reached out to another yeah. 30, like each person. So this I realized this show is the fucking like idea of what if Kevin Bacon did the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, and he fucking was like, by the way, go kill people, you know? I didn't realize that until
oh
I started watching it, where I'm like, this is an amazing show then, because this is what, like, the 6 degree of Kevin Bacon, the game is. Except every time it's, like, pay it forward style shit, it's just, let's go kill someone. Let's go fucking stab, like, a neighbor or something. Yeah. And that's why I'm like, this is so fucking great. Like, I think this is the appeal, is that it's not about, like, the crazy horror. I think the fans just watching this because it's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, the show.
And Kevin Bacon is, like, the worst FBI agent in the history of anything.
Well, because it's his degree, and he's kind of like, I can't do my job right.
I got stabbed in the heart. So I have a pacemaker that if I run more than 5 steps, I collapse. Like, because he can, like, never chase him. Because he's just, like, he runs, like, 5 feet, and he's just like, oh, God, my pacemaker. I'm so out of breath.
I do, like, I do like how one of his weakness is magnets. Yep. But I get it. I mean, even a microwave could kill him, but they don't even show that yet.
And like things just get like things get stupider and stupider as it goes along. Like there's like the crazy cult like runs out of like an S&M club at some point, I heard. And they have like,
well, I don't want to get too into it because a lot of the twists
they
pop
have, like,
up.
Iceman gets into like some sort of like underground fight, or like they basically like just like have him like fight like a bunch of like Fowlers at some point.
I didn't watch
fight,
that.
And then like they got like the weird, the crazy like military guy who used to be in the military, but now he's like a serial killer for some reason.
That guy looks just like a young Josh Brolin. It's really creepy how like Josh Brolin he mm-hmm. looks.
He's like the secret, like he's like the secret leader of like the three dumb college kids. Or like postgraduate kids who like obviously just like, oh, like instead of like, I don't know, or like environmentalism or something in college, you're like, oh man, what about serial?
No, they were all English majors. That was the thing that started
yeah.
with them. No offense, English majors, but it's just like, hey, professor, I want you to expand my mind. And that's how like, he's like, hey, all
right,
kill.
Yes, we should go ahead and murder someone for me.
And instead of like opposing this theory, he's like, okay, like there's so, it's so like,
it's all gonna be part of my grand novel.
Can I read it? No.
And it's like, they just keep, like, every single episode just like, oh man, this is going to be such a great chapter in my novel.
He doesn't even write shit down. He just keeps talking about it, which I again, it's so stupid that it's good to me. I don't know why, but
I also like how
I like it.
His ex-wife is like the stomach is like so stupid. It's like you, like she gets away and then they're like, well, she's clear she has to get away and then she's like we got your kid and it's like okay, even though like they already got the kid back safely, she's just like, all right, I'll go with you. And then there's this whole thing like later where it's like Joseph Carroll was like, I want to rekindle our romance. It's all gonna be this grand chapter where we romance comes in and then romance dies or something. I don't know. I'm writing this as I go along.
Poe didn't live a happy life. I'm not gonna live a happy life either.
Yeah, I'd definitely rather watch The Raven over The Following.
No.
At least the Raven has like insane.
That's pretty bold, dude. I don't know.
At least the Raven has like insane Nicolas Cage-esque John Cusack.
No, but the fact that this movie like is bad. I think this movie's better than the Raven because me and Joe really suffer through the fucking Raven.
It was bad.
All I know is that like I was watching The Following until Hannibal debuted, and then Hannibal showed up, and I was like, well, this is like an actual like great show. It's not just like something that I'm like watching for hilarity. So, right. Yeah, I'm kind of done with you Following. Sorry, Kevin Bacon. Like if Kevin Bacon was like somehow in Hannibal, like he would be dead within like 5 minutes.
Oh. He would get it totally. He would eat. Be his pacemaker be ripped out and like.
Yeah. Eating,
so. Mm-hmm.
And you're watching that Netflix, I'm assuming, Chris, because it just got added to Netflix. Like
the only way I could watch it is through Netflix. And the funniest thing was right after watching like 7 episodes back to back, it was like, "Hey, would you like to watch Extreme Cheapskates?" And I was like, "This is a weird ass suggestion."
The Following, and then like what other shows?
Yeah, and I was like, watch Extreme Cheapskates. I'm like, I guess whoever was watches too thought like, I should watch Real Psychos. And I watched like an episode, and I was like, this is shit. But...
All right, Netflix, I'll watch what you're suggesting.
I'll watch what you're getting at, and then I watched it. And I was like, this is fucking staged, and I just like went back to watching The Following.
So, anything else, Chris?
Nah, that's about it.
Alrighty, well, actually, going off TV. I started watching Arrow on Netflix. They just had that a couple weeks ago.
Cool.
It's actually pretty awesome. And I think especially if you're like a fan of the comics, or just like comics in general, it might be slightly better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ooh.
Because just going off kind of like where they were at the same point, like third episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they brought in a cow character, which was Graviton. And it was kind of cool. It wasn't, like the actual, like, Graviton from the comics.
Yeah, it could have been better. Could have been worse. Yeah.
But third episode, Arrow, they bring in Deadshot. And he's basically Deadshot from the comics.
Yeah, it's...
He doesn't have, like, the crazy, like, red bodysuit, but he has, like, his crazy optic, like eyeglass thing he wears, like, aim... He's got his, like, wrist machine gun. He's got...
It's very obviously Deadshot, you know? Like, it's not like, oh, that's going to be Deadshot one day. Like,
no, it's just, like, straight up, like, it's Floyd Lawton, a.k.a. Deadshot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, and it just goes up from there, like, goes from there to, like, Deathstroke is a huge character for season.
And it's the real fucking Deathstroke, like, too. Within, like, he's got the mask.
In the first, like, 3 minutes of the first episode, it's like they cut to, like, it's like, because the whole thing is, it's based on Green Arrow Year One. So it's mm-hmm. Oliver Queen is, like, gets shipwrecked on this island, and then is on the island for, like, on the show it's 5 years. And so he's basically, like, surviving on this island, and he comes back and then becomes Green Arrow. But yeah, within like 3 minutes of the first episode on the island, they cut to like the obvious Deathstroke mask on the beach. So it's kind of like, so you kind of like know where it's coming from. And I mean, yeah, and then it just keeps going from, like tons of just like comic book characters will show up or have already shown up. I think last episode I just watched was they kind of had like this new twist on like the Royal Flush Gang.
That's cool.
Which, if you like, they were in like, I think they were in like Justice League Doom or something, but they're also like just like random, like, I think they're like, were they Flash villains, I think, or something, or some random like.
No, they're generic DC fodder that's like, if you need a bank robbed or jewelry stolen.
Like, Batman Beyond had like these like crazy, like futuristic version of them. They had like.
Well, so did Justice League.
Yeah. Well, they're pretty crazy and futuristic to begin with, but yeah, for sure.
They definitely like.
Those are
they definitely kind
of
like Christopher Nolanized them in Arrow. It's like it's just like this like random family that like has like like card like hockey masks like with the cards on them, but still pretty awesome.
Well, they needed to be knocked down a peg, if you ask me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They needed to be like old timesy like robbers. It's like, ah, behold, your king is here. It's just like,
like
no guns.
No, not even. But it's just like you can't. You can't have these motherfuckers flying around on playing cards and be like, oh, this show's gritty and realistic. Zoom.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, no, no,
flying
no.
by
oh,
with these like
the
electric
Arrow...
swords and shit.
The Arrow stated that it actually it starts having like superpowers like near the end. Not to spoil anything for you, Zach.
No, no, I know. But
yeah,
for now,
but,
they're just
then,
trying to, like...
I mean, obviously this season now it's like Flash is showing up and other and like all this other stuff's showing up. They had like,
Yeah, but it's cool because they're starting in the shallow end. You know what I mean? It's not like they're just jumping into the deep water. It's like, okay, this is what you wanted, right? Okay,
yeah.
Here's Black Canary. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going on now on the show, but it takes a while to get there, which is
nice.
They really let you sort of build up an era.
Like, I read this, like, I haven't seen it yet, obviously, but, like, I guess season two, like, League of Shadows is, like, a pretty huge, like, League of Assassins is, like, a huge deal.
Yep, and it's actually the League of Assassins, which is
yeah.
cool. Because apparently in the Christopher Nolan universe, you can't say the A word.
Yeah. And like, Michael Jai...
The League of Bad Guys.
Like, freaking, like, I guess the first episode of season two, like, Michael Jai White showed up as, like, I think, was Golden Lion
Fuck,
or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, man.
Bronze
Tiger. Goddamn right, man. Anytime you have, like, a black martial arts expert superhero, it fucking better be Michael Jai White or Jamie Foxx. And, you know, goddamn.
Morgan Freeman is.
Yeah.
And, like, definitely, like, Arrow, like, definitely, like, the, sort of, like, the ongoing plots are, like, way more interesting than, like, anything with S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. Like, the main thing with S.H.I.E.L.D. is, like, what's going on with Agent Coulson?
S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of blows, dude, I hate to say.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
it's definitely.
I'm glad that it's a show, but I don't like it.
It's not...
Like you know what I mean? Like, I'm happy it's on TV.
I think everyone was expecting, like, to be like, oh my god, this is, like, one of the, like, this is, like, game-changing television. It's just, like, not, it's just, like, it's a fun procedural show. It's like B-level Fringe.
It's a procedural show with a Marvel back.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that going into season two, it'll probably be better.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely interested.
But
like,
I think that they kind of rolled the dice with it.
Like, I'm definitely interested because apparently next week's episode is supposed to whatever happens in Thor, which we'll probably talk about next week as well. But whatever happens in Thor is probably going to affect.
Yeah,
it's going to affect Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. at some point. Like whatever, like something happens in Thor and it's going to they're going to deal with it on S.H.I.E.L.D. or something. I guess the same thing with. Captain America Winter Soldier is like, I guess, because that's going to come out the same time as like the season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so it might kind of like lead right into that or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where Arrow like definitely is like way better, because it's just like, instead of like hoping you'll see characters, it's just like, who's not going to show up is kind of the question.
Yeah.
I mean, the only nitpicky thing is like it's on CW, so it's got a little bit of like soap opera-y sort of relationship thing going on with it.
Well, it has to.
Well, I mean, it's balanced out really well by like just awesome action and like awesome like plot stuff. Like there's like probably like 3 or 4 different like ongoing like mystery plots going on right now of like what the hell happened to Oliver on the island, and like what happened to his, like why does his dad have to, like this crazy list of people who like Oliver stick to, like take down, and like why is his mom evil and all this other stuff going on. So
yeah,
it's definitely
I know that the bigger superheroes, for not to sound like elitist or whatever, but I know that like Batman's off limits. I know Superman is pretty much off limits, but I would like to see some other heroes. Like the fact that they had Black Canary come through, I think is fucking cool.
I mean, obviously at some point
I would love to see someone like Cyborg.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously Flash is coming up.
I mean, like there's just Flash is Flash is the real test. Flash is a real test, and I'll tell you why. Because he's definitely the biggest hero to sort of
be available
cameo, I guess. But it's going to be like a recurring thing.
Well, it's going to be it's going to be the backdoor pilot for the Flash show.
Yes, which, it's a backdoor pilot Flash for the show Flash show, but they could certainly do that with Wonder Woman also.
If the Flash show is as good as Arrow, like that show, like if they like just right off the bat be like, all right, here's Captain Cold and Captain Boomerang and all these other like Flash villains, like the Flash show might be awesome.
And the Flash show could really be awesome because the Flash, if you approach it the right, if you approach him the right way, he's such a great like young superhero. You know, like he's witty, he's kind of like not as extreme, but he's kind of like Deadpool in his like quips and stuff like that, and like he has a mouth, but he's also like really overzealous sometimes, like fucks things up, like it's cool to, and then he has right the wrongs that are
he's
doing,
like secretly like
especially if they make him a cop or the forensic scientist or whatever.
I definitely hope they do like the whole like he got struck by lightning that hit chemicals
and then he fell into a machine, like the worst day of Wally West's life. I mean, that's the Flash we're thinking of, Joe, is the Flash from the Justice League. And that was a great version of Flash. Like, the cocky, like, I guess, naive Flash. But
he's also, I mean, he's also, like, secretly, like, the most powerful character, possibly in comics.
Yeah, that's the best part. He has, like, all this potential that he hasn't, like, unlocked, besides time travel, which was, like, the newest one, where he could just fall into, a paradox.
Into the Speed Force.
And the cool thing that I could see with Joe's idea of making Flash, like, this young, hip character, is that we can then introduce, like, a generation of other heroes that can get like an age reduction, you know, where it's like a kid version, this, a young version, this, it's not just like old man Batman shows up and he's like, oh,
goddamn kids.
What now? Making a mess of my city.
So, so definitely if you haven't, like, if you've been kind of like disappointed by the comic book or lack comic book stuff going on with S.H.I.E.L.D., I would definitely say check out Arrow, because it's kind of has more action in S.H.I.E.L.D., like, right off the bat, like, more comical characters that are actually comical characters and stuff, so it's on Netflix right now. Definitely go check that out. And then as far as movies go, I caught The Running Man on, of all places, Sundance Channel.
Wow.
the independent movie, Running Man.
Yes.
You might have heard of it.
Sundance Classic. I mean, nothing really new to talk about with Running Man. It's a classic. I think one of our favorite Arnold movies here, I'm sure. Mm. It has, I think, maybe my favorite Arnold quote of all time, which is the, I live to see you eat that contract, Killian, but I still have to say, rip my fist, because I'm going to rip, jam it in your stomach and rip out your goddamn spine!
Ah, my favorite.
But yeah, the one new thing I did find out, which I...
This is a complicated threat.
Well, I mean, as soon as he gets into, like, the arena, like, every single line Arnold has is, like, a one-liner. He has no more dialogue. He just has one-liners. See your Sub-Zero? He is no Zero. Hey, Christmas tree! Hey, light bulb! But yeah, the one new thing I did find out on Running Man is, and I put it up for our musical montage this week, is the music video for John Parr's Restless Heart, which is like the end credits song for Running Man. Have you guys seen that thing?
I have not, no.
Okay, I think definitely go check it out on our site if you haven't seen it yet. It is just like pure cheesy 80s insanity awesomeness. It's just like every sort of like 80s music video cliche you could possibly imagine just like jammed into one music video. Because it's like John Parr, who obviously also did the St. Elmo's Fire theme and a couple of other songs. But yeah, mostly known for Man in Motion, the St. Elmo's Fire theme. But yeah, it's like him, like, and they sort of like put like footage from the movie on like this, like, he's on like this like weird, like futuristic, like command center. And they put like this like footage from the Running Man, like a screen behind him. But then at some points he also like he kind of like, gets like integrated into the footage. Like he shoots like lightning out of his guitar at some point, and it kind of like goes into like the clip of like Dynamo shooting lightning. So it seems like he's like shooting lightning out of his guitar. And then there's like so much like unnecessary slow motion that lingers way too long. It's like slow motion of the guitar lasts for like 30 seconds. And it's just like there's like American flags everywhere. And then at some points it seems like he's like singing this like song that's like this weird like power ballad to Arnold, because it's just like this like slow motion like super dramatic footage of Arnold like running, and it's just, like John Parr singing about how they're gonna run away together into the night or something.
Nice.
It's just like it's so crazy and awesome. Like it's just like everything you possibly imagine for an 80s music video is in this video, and just it gets more insane as it goes along. So yeah, definitely go check that out on the site. And just if you haven't seen Running Man in a while, go check out, watch Running Man because it's great. And then for Halloween last week, I watched The Frighteners.
Cool.
Michael J. Fox classic. Pre like
underrated.
Yeah, definitely
at the time.
Obviously pre Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson when he's still like in his like weird Sam Raimi phase of like doing this crazy like indie horror movies and like. Other like just weird stuff. I think it might have been like his big like American debut. I'm not sure, because I know he had like Meet the Feebles and like Dead Alive in like New Zealand, and then I don't know. I think Frighteners might have been his like first American movie, possibly. But definitely has like that weird like Sam Raimi, or like So kind of like Tim Burton, Beetlejuice-y sort of things, where it's just like weird, like this weird like afterlife sort of system going on, where like you either like go to heaven right away, or you like just like end up as a ghost, but then you're like decaying as a ghost as you're staying on Earth, and then like certain people can see you and certain people can't, and then like Jake Busey shows up as like the like ghost serial killer.
Well, I mean, son of Busey.
Yeah, so. I mean, obviously, there's some craziness. There's like the crazy tendencies there. But yeah, lots of fun, like ghost stuff, because it's like very like unique, like ghost physics and stuff. Where, like they need to like ride. They need to, like they can't like fly. They need to like ride in cars to get places, but then they also like go through walls still.
They can sort of fly. The physics behind the ghost things are just like,
but then they also up. because Michael J. Fox has like his like crew of ghosts with him, and he has to like put them in the trunk of his car to like take them to like his various like scams. And then also, Jeffrey Combs, aka the Reanimator, as like the crazy FBI agent. Who, like, nice. His whole thing is, like, he, like, actually, kind of like the following, like, he went undercover with, like, all these, like, cults and stuff. And now he's just, like, totally insane, like, where it's, like a metal, like, breastplate to, like, avoid people, like, to, like, avoid, like, getting his, like, heart crushed by ghosts. And also, like, the fact that...
Well, the concept was the metal plate is actually made out of lead, pure lead. It's making him go crazy. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, definitely a fun Halloween movie. If you haven't checked it out, it's on Netflix. It's kind of weird that, like, you had like Sam Raimi and Peter Jackson like doing like these like kind of like crazy indie like horror comedy movies, and then they both like got like the biggest franchises ever. And then last thing I watched Ender's Game, which just came out last weekend, number one movie at the box office. Based on the like 1985 sci-fi classic novel, I think it's always like ranked like in like the top five for like sci-fi novels of like all time sci-fi novels. Yeah, so a little over 20 years to like get it to the big screen, but they finally did it. And it was actually pretty awesome. You go read my review on the site. But definitely had a cool, it's got a very cool story and cool concept where it's like these aliens invaded Earth and we just barely fought them off, but now if they ever come back, we need like new ways to fight them. So they're starting to train children to become like these like commanders, because children can analyze data quicker and react quicker than adults can. So now there's like this like orbiting space satellite called Battle School, where they send the kids to like go train and like become like these like hardened battle commanders. And then this kid Ender Wiggin might be like the best commander ever. So Harrison Ford shows up and like recruits him himself and like brings him to the Battle School and basically like tries to like mold him into like this like super like focused deadly commander. And it's actually Harrison Ford, probably like one of the best Harrison Ford performances I've seen in a while. He's like is perfectly cast as like the grizzled, angry commander, just like growling at everyone, like he's gonna be the best commander ever. Kill them.
Roar.
And then there's like a lot of cool like stuff, like it's kind of like I'm sure, just you can draw Harry Potter comparisons, but like obviously the book came out before Harry Potter came out, so maybe Harry Potter stole some stuff from them. But and like at Battle School, they have like this game they play, which is kind of like zero G laser tag, and it's kind of like very Quidditch esque, where there's like different teams at the school, and then everyone's trying to compete to be the best team. And there's like these like crazy rules of like, if you shoot someone in the arm, you get a point. But if you get through like this gate, you automatically win. So there's like that stuff, and there's kind of like a little bit of like Starship Troopers stuff going on, because like the aliens are like super insect-like, and it's like kind of like, well, if we don't attack them, like maybe us going out there made them attack us or something. And it's like, and then everyone like Harrison Ford, a bunch of people are like, no, we gotta kill those bugs. Do it for Buenos Aires. but lots of other cool like visual stuff going on. When it, like eventually like Ender gets like command school and he's like basically controlling like entire like fleets of ships. And there's like this like awesome like Minority Report sort of style of like him like manipulating all these different screens and like zooming in on ships and stuff and like controlling them all. So, I mean, it's definitely like just a cool sci-fi action movie.
Sweet, man.
So, I heard they cut out like a ton of stuff out of the book. From the book, from their movie. Like, apparently, Ender's sister, who's played by Abigail Breslin in the movie, apparently half the book was about her. And she's did the movie for like two scenes.
Hmm.
And then some of the other characters aren't really fleshed out. Like, there's always like other kids at school, like the Battle School, and they're just like super like generic. Like, I'm the friend. I'm the nerdy guy. I'm the bully guy.
I'm the jack. Yeah.
There's like some.
I'm expendable.
There's some,
like,
there's
okay.
Some super super like 80s style like bullies in this movie.
You won't be seeing me again. What? You won't be seeing me again.
Put him in a body bag.
Suicide, no!
But But yeah, I mean, definitely. And if sci-fi Harry Potter sounds fun to you, I'd say it's definitely worth checking out. So that's it for me. I think it's gonna do it for this week's show. Unless there's anything else you guys can think of we need to talk about. Mm-mm. All right, so you can go to everythingaction.com for all sorts of stuff. That musical montage, John Parr music video. Definitely check that out if you're a fan of The Running Man. My review of Ender's Game is up there. Our contest for UFC Ultimate Fights 2013. I mean, that's a $130 value, guys. I mean, you can win that for free. So definitely get on there and enter that contest. And then all sorts of other stuff up there as well. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action, twitter.com/eviaction, everythingaction.tumblr.com. Find us on iTunes by searching for us on Everything Action on iTunes. Get our podcast on there. Rate us, leave us some comments, leave us some reviews. You can also get our app on there, which is free for iPhone or iPod Touch. And then you can also get us on Stitcher, stitcher.com. Search for us in there. You can stream us or download us from there. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.